Say with blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, we trust you, and we love you. We thank you for your presence being among us, as you promised, whenever two or more are gathered, you're there in their midst. And there's a bit more than two here, Father. We thank you for blessing us with the forgiveness of sin, cleansing us from unrighteousness, blessing us with the latter rain, faith that moves mountains, the character of Christ, and a desire to be perfect and to make you smile. Thank you for letting us be alive in these last days, too. Especially now, too, because we have history behind us and all the fulfilled prophecies that we can use as ammunition in this holy war we find ourselves in. Thank you for giving us opportunities to share our faith. And thank you for letting us see you watering the seeds, too. It's amazing to see their eyes light up. Thank you for answered prayer. Thank you for the trials and tribulations that come. Many of us are going through pretty intense trials right now, but thank you for those, because it helps us to get stronger so that when it really gets intense, we'll have that experience. We'll have that hope. We'll know that you're already there for us anyway. So thank you for giving us our experiences. We ask that you bless all those that are on our prayer list, bless you those that are sick and ailing, and especially those that are lost. Thank you for blessing the ministry and all those that help us do the work, physically, spiritually, and financially. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen and amen. Trying something a little different this week, and it seems to be working okay so far. If you notice, the sound quality is maxed out. Yet we've got 24 families in here, and doesn't seem to be a problem. Okay. So we have company today. They're pulling up now, I think. That's why the dog's barking upstairs. You probably can't hear the dog, though. Or maybe you can. I don't know how well I, tuned in the... You can? Okay. Now let me turn on the fan. It's kind of warm down here. Okay. For those of you listening on the radio, WTPR, we thank you for being here. Sabbath blessings to you as well. We are in Ministry of Healing. Chapter 31, yeah. Page, let me hit the current button here. I guess page, middle of 374. Let me see. Let me lock this in. Hold on. That way, if anybody does fall out, they'll be right back where they were when they fell out. There you go. You're welcome, Bonnie. Okay, this section's entitled Cheerfulness. Okay, hold on a second here. Got a little bit of a problem. Okay, I'm back. Okay, cheerfulness. This is the middle of page 374 of Ministry of Healing. For those of you that are listening on the radio, if you actually have the book. For those of you in the room, look to your right. It's one of the things I like about this software, and is we can actually, browse inside the room. And until I find something better, I'm just going to give up, because the other stuff is too buggy. So we're going to stick with this stuff for a while until something better comes along. All right. She says, wait, let me scroll this up a little bit here so I can, this is my own fault. It won't get any bigger. I got to fix that the next time I upload a page. How do I make the print bigger on the page? Usually you hold down control and you scroll your mouse button up, but I obviously programmed this page with a 10-point font. Usually I give it a 10-point font, but a free were reeling 10-point font. In other words, it starts off at 10 points, but then you could scroll it up. And I hit the wrong button, obviously, with this one, so we're locked in at 10 points. So you can't make it bigger. So if I mess up a lot, it's my own fault. Hey, the mother should cultivate a cheerful, contented... Oh, yeah, this chapter, by the way, is about... Let me scroll up. The mother, yeah. So this one section is called cheerfulness. And she says, the mother should cultivate a cheerful, contented, happy disposition. Every effort in this direction will be abundantly repaid in both physical well-being and the moral character of her children. A cheerful spirit will promote the happiness of her family in a very great degree, improve her own health. And let the husband aid his wife by his sympathy and unfailing affection if he wishes to keep her fresh and gladsome so that she will be a sunshine in the home. Let him help her bear her burdens. His kindness and loving courtesy will be to her a precious encouragement. And the happiness he imparts will bring joy and peace to his own heart. And I got to attest to that. It does help. I remember when we were first married, my wife has always been the cheerful one in the family. I always used to have an attitude. And over the years, the Lord has been chipping away at that dross on me. And it does, it is a blessing to the heart when you're not as angry as you used to be. Things don't get to you as they used to. Just give it up to Christ, and it'll be that much easier. But it also helps the wife. You know, your helpmeet. Looks like Glitter Blue is having a hard time staying in the room. I might. Let's try knocking the bandwidth down just a little bit. You won't notice it because I'm talking. It's not like, all right, we're down at 15 now, because I'm not using. We're not using music, so it doesn't really matter. All right, getting back. The husband and father who is morose, selfish, and overbearing is not only unhappy himself, which I can guarantee you she's not kidding there, because I was morose, selfish, and overbearing, and I was never happy. And now 9 times out of 10, I would always be in a good mood outside the house, and often in the house, but deep down inside, I was unhappy. And it's kind of like we were reading last night in regards to David, what he was... Well, not so much David, but the man that he approached in regards to getting some food for his troops with the sheep, that being Nabal, you know, that one guy Nabal, who died after 10 days when he realized that he could have died that night when he was partying hardy after rejecting David's plea for some provisions for his troops, because his troops had protected his flocks, and he was just, you know, a curlish guy, as Sister White called him, you know, very ornery, if you will. Anyway, so getting back, it says, the husband and father who was morose, selfish, and overbearing is not only unhappy himself, but he casts gloom upon all the inhabitants of his home. He will reap the result in seeing his wife dispirited and sickly, and his children marred with his own unloving temper. Now, praise the Lord, my kids don't have that unloving temper. I mean, for a while there, some of them did. And after much prayer and apologizing to them, because I remember years ago, me and the wife, we had a family meeting, and we apologized to the kids for the way that we raised them. And we did that because we were convicted to do so, because we raised them Catholic. But then I, you know, had a lot of apologizing to do, you know, because I had an attitude all the time, and I was, you know, and so. But I've noticed the way the kids are today as they're older. They're nothing like I was when I was younger at their age. And I so praise the Lord for that, because I wouldn't wish that kind of lifestyle on anybody. It was a very unhappy lifestyle, even though I put up a front saying the opposite most of the time. But anyway, continuing, if the mother is deprived of the care and comforts she should have, if she is allowed to exhaust her strength through overwork or through anxiety and gloom, her children will be robbed of the vital force and of the mental elasticity and cheerful buoyancy they should inherit. Far better will it be to make the mother's life bright and cheerful, to shield her from want, wearing labor, and depressing care, and let the children inherit good constitutions, so that they may battle their way through life with their own energetic strength. Great is the honor and the responsibility placed upon fathers and mothers in that they are to stand in the place of God to their children. their character, their daily life, their methods of training will interpret his words to the little ones. Their influence will win or repel the child's confidence in the Lord's assurances. And because they have a grounded authority in the household, and it makes for an excellent witness, you know. And I praise the Lord for his long-suffering, and I praise, I thank my kids for their long-suffering because of the way I used to be. But I so praise the Lord for, you know, the way he can change people. Even to this day, I think that is the greatest miracle ever. Now, I've seen, you know, we've all seen some pretty amazing miracles, but I still cannot get over how the Lord changes the minds of his people. You know, the healings, okay, that's great. You know, that's amazing. Or splitting the Red Seas, or walking on water, or raising the dead. That's all, you know, mind-bogglingly, you know, amazing. But when someone's mind is changed, I mean, they're a totally different person. An absolute, like the Bible says, a new creature. That to me is, I still can't get over how amazing that is. Because I witnessed it firsthand. And of course, some of it, right off, I witnessed it right off in the beginning, 23-some years ago, a little over 23 years ago. But there were still a lot of little pieces of garbage that were on me throughout the years that took years to get off. It's been an adventure. Just let's put it that way. It's just an adventure. We all know what I'm talking about here. Anyway, the next section is called The Privilege of Parents in Child Training. And those of you on the radio, it's page 376. Happy are the parents whose lives are a true reflection of the divine, so that the promises and commands of God awaken in the child gratitude and reverence. The parents whose tenderness and justice and long-suffering interpret to the child the love and justice and long-suffering of God, and who, by teaching the child to love and to trust and obey them, are teaching him to love and trust and obey his Father in heaven. Parents who impart to a child such a gift have endowed him with a treasure more precious than the wealth of all the ages, a treasure as enduring as eternity. In the children committed to her care, every mother has a sacred charge from God. Take this son, this daughter, he says, train it for me. Give it a character polished after the similitude of a palace, that it may shine in the courts of the Lord forever. And the mother's, thoughts come to mind here, but it's just, the way she explains this, it's just so, it doesn't really need any explanation. But she goes on to say that the mother's work often seems to her an unimportant service. It is a work that is rarely appreciated, and especially in today's world with all the career-minded people, you know, I'm one of 11 kids, and I still, to this day, cannot understand how when a woman is asked the question, what do you do? And she says, I'm a housewife. And you can sometimes see in the body language or in the eyes of the person, they go, oh, yeah, whoop-dee-doo. You know, they give, you know, they have that look on their face kind of a thing. And I used to think, and I spoke out a few times when I was younger, even though I wasn't a Christian. I says, you got to be kidding me. My mom does more than you could ever even, you know, and then when I got married and had 8 kids, and they would say to my wife, you know, and she would say she's a housewife or, she's a mother. That, you know, that's a better definition. It's just the mother. And people still look down on that. I think, you got to be kidding me. I mean, we've all had moms. And especially if, a mother of 8 kids or 11 kids or whatever. It is the most important job on the planet, I'm thinking. You know, because everybody is... has a mom, but it's so not appreciated all the time. It's so sad because of the things that moms go through and the things they got to do. And it's not, like a 9-to-5 punch the time clock thing either. It's 9 a.m. to 9 a.m. 24/7. All right, continuing. Goes on again. It is a work that is rarely appreciated. Others know little of her many cares and burdens. Her days are occupied with a round of little duties, all calling for patient effort, for self-control, for tact, wisdom, and self-sacrificing love. This is why women don't they use more to their brains than we do, the guys? Isn't that right? Or is it the other way around? We got to use our whole brain to do half what they can do with their half a brain. I just know that, you know, they have a lot better ability there in regards to being multitasking, a lot of different chores at the same time. But going on, you know, self-sacrificing, love, yet she cannot boast of what she has done as any great achievement. She has only kept things in the home running smoothly, often weary and perplexed. She has tried to speak kindly to the children, to keep them busy and happy, and to guide the little feet in the right path. And for my kids sitting up there now, we still look at you with little feet, okay? So, I don't care if you're in your 40s, okay, your parents are still going to see your little feet, all right? She goes on to say that she feels that she has accomplished nothing, but it is not so. Heavenly angels watch the careworn mother, noting the burdens she carries day by day. Her name may not have been heard in the world, but it is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's really all that matters. Seriously, that is all that matters. All right, this final section of the book is called The Mother's Opportunity, and it says, there is a God above, and the light and glory from his throne rests upon the faithful mother as she tries to... we're not done. Who did that? We're not done with that section there. All right, getting back. There is a God above, and the light... Let me put it back where it was. Hold on. My keyboard's not designed properly. I got one of those dual keyboards. Hold on. Thank you. All right. Last section. There is a God above, and the light and glory from his throne rests upon the faithful mother as she tries to educate her children to resist the influence of evil. No other work can equal hers in importance. Why does this keep moving around? Okay, let me stop here for a minute. Whoever's doing it, yeah, no, it's not Bonnie, so please don't hit your F2 key. If you're a moderator, please don't hit your F2 key. All right. When she says here, no other work can equal hers in importance, this includes, I don't really look at the President of the United States as being of any really great important job because I know that he's mostly a puppet. But even guys like the Pope, he's a puppet too. But let's just, like, take for example the Black Pope, that Nicholas guy now that took the place of the Kolvenbach man. He may be considered, or even Bilderbergs or Rockefeller or Rothschilds or whatever, all these guys that are so considered to be great, you know. You can't even hold a candle to your own mother. And it's that simple. You can't hold a candle to your own mom because if it wasn't for mom, you wouldn't be here. And, of course, if it wasn't for God, mom wouldn't be here either. Or you, for that matter. So, finishing it up. Sister White says, she has not, like the artist, to paint a form of beauty upon canvas, nor like the sculptor to chisel it from marble. She has not, like the author, to embody a noble thought in words of power, nor like the musician to express a beautiful sentiment and melody. It is hers, with the help of God, to develop in a human soul the likeness of the divine. So think about that. People out there can play the piano really good, you know, and learn how to make beautiful music, or play a trumpet and make beautiful music, or an artist can learn how to draw and make beautiful artwork or whatever. But a mom trains a child and makes a beautiful person. And she finishes by saying, the mother who appreciates this will regard her opportunities as priceless. Earnestly will she seek in her own character and by her methods of training to present before her children the highest ideal. Earnestly, patiently, courageously, she will endeavor to improve her own abilities that she may use airtight... No, I told you I was going to mess up because it's hard to read these little letters. She may use aright the highest powers of the mind and training of her children. Earnestly will she inquire at every step, what hath God spoken? Diligently she will study his word. She will keep her eyes fixed on Christ. that our only daily experience in a lowly round of care and duty may be a true reflection of the one true life. And that's a capital L, which means Jesus. All right, let me go back and jump into the next booklet here. The child. No. Okay, the child. Thank you. And for those of you listening on the radio, we're on page 379 of Ministry of Healing, chapter 32, I guess. And this one here, we still got about 10 minutes left. All right, the child. Now, not only the habits of the mother, but the training of the child were included. Let me see if I can raise up there. See, I messed up this one, too. I'm going to have to reprogram these pages. Please put in the link. Okay. All right. Hold fast. Is that you, Rob, or is that you, Michelle? Okay. It's me. Sorry. All right. Okay. All right. All right. All right. Somebody's testing the features on the moderator thing. That's why I asked. So I would please ask that. Please don't. Okay. All right. I'm just wondering because I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. Yeah. All right. The child. Well, let me lock this page in because we're going to be on it for 10 minutes in case people fall out. Okay. There. Okay, good. All right, it says, not only the habits of the mother, but the training of the child were included in the angel's instruction to the Hebrew parents. It was not enough that Samson, the child was to deliver Israel, should have a good legacy at his birth. This was to be followed by careful training. From infancy, he was to be trained to habits of strict temperance. Similar instruction, and I got to, let me stop here for a minute because... For those of us that are seeking to be part of the Gideon Band, it's not just stopping all sin in your life and, you know, and trying to stop doing the things that you used to do. It also has a lot to do with the health message, too. Stop eating the things that you shouldn't be eating. You know, and it could be anything from sugary foods to, you know, the naughty, naughty meats, you know, like pork. But I don't think anybody in there has a problem with pork or any kind of stuff like that. But you might have a problem with a hamburger, for example. And the people say, well, God says okay to eat the cows. Yeah, but the hamburgers you get at McDonald's or even the store, stuff like that, they didn't get the blood out of the burger. So that's not considered clean. The Bible says specifically to get the blood all the way out of that meat before eating it. So continuing. Similar instruction was given in regard to John the Baptist. Before the birth of the child, the message sent from heaven to the father was, thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink no wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. On heaven's record of noble men, the Savior declared that there stood not one greater than John the Baptist. The work committed to him was one demanding not only physical energy and endurance, but the highest qualities of mind and soul. So important was right physical training as a preparation for this work that the highest angel in heaven was sent with a message of instruction to the parents of the child. Case in point, we all know that a lot of the problems that people have with focusing or even contemplating the deep things of the Word has to do with your diet because it's not just detrimental to eat unclean foods. You are a living breathing machine. Some people, I don't know why they, because I used to think this. My mindset was, okay, I shouldn't eat that because it might mess up with my kidneys, it might mess up something in my lungs or cause me ulcers or whatever. Everybody forgets about the brain. Everybody forgets that the brain needs nourishment too. You know, because it's way up there on the top of the head and they think, okay, all the food's going to be going down from this point forward. No, the nourishment goes all the way to the top of your scalp, too. I mean, it even shows in your hair. You eat unclean foods or you eat things that you shouldn't be eating, your hair is even going to show it. It's not going to be as healthy, and you know, it's not going to have a shine. It's going to fall out, whatever the case may be. It's going to get premature gray, whatever. I don't know. I don't know that much about how health affects the hair. I used to be a trichologist, but I didn't. That was mostly for hair loss. But anyway, page 380. The directions given concerning the Hebrew children teaches that nothing which affects the child's physical well-being is to be neglected. Nothing is unimportant. Every influence that affects the health of the body has its bearing upon mind and character. Too much importance cannot be placed upon the early training of the children. The lessons learned, the habits formed during the years of infancy and childhood have more to do with the formation of the character and the direction of the life than have all the instruction and training of after years. So again, Bush and any of these so-called great men, you know, thank your mom. As well, you know, and if your mom was led by God, but then again, you could see with some of these families, like especially with the Bush family, they have been infected with great evil generations past. And so, still, pray for them. Irregardless, we still have to pray for our leaders. But continuing, parents need to consider this. They should understand the principles that underlie the care and training of children. They should be capable of rearing them in the physical, mental, and moral health. Parents should study the laws of nature. They should become acquainted with the organism of the human body. They need to understand the functions of the various organs and the relation and dependence. They should study the relation of the mental to the physical powers and the conditions required for the healthy action of each. To assume the responsibilities of parenthood without such preparation is a sin. That's pretty blunt, okay? That's why I slowed down. I don't want to have any doubt here. Continuing, far too little thought is given to the cases or to the causes underlying the mortality, the disease, and degeneracy that exist today even in the most civilized and favored lands. And the reason some might be thinking, okay, how is it sin? How can Sister White say such a thing? We all know what the Scripture says about those who destroy the body or the temple shall certainly be destroyed by God. And a lot has to do with how you're trained when you're young. If you're trained, if you're in a household, for example, that gives you all this poisonous foods, by the time you're older, you're going to be so locked into that, it's really going to be difficult. Because I remember, because that's how the household I was when I grew up. My wife even had a little bit worse off. She was given coffee in the morning as a youth. But we didn't have coffee, but we had all the other stuff, you know, everything from the pork chops to the cereal that was like, and boy, I used to load that cereal up with the sugar. I used to actually drink log cabin syrup. I'd sneak into the pantry and just drink it. So it was not a very helpful situation. And it took me years I still have a little bit of a sweet tooth I don't like. It bothers me to some extent. So continuing, the human race is deteriorating. Yeah. More than one-third die in infancy. And she's got a footnote here. It says, the statement concerning infant mortality was correct at the time it was written in 1905. However, modern medicine and proper child care have greatly reduced the mortality rate in the infancy and the childhood. And that's from the publishers. Okay, So she said, more than one-third die in infancy. Of those who reach manhood and womanhood, by far the greater number suffer from disease in some form, but few reach the limit of human life. Most of the evils that are bringing misery and ruin to the race might be prevented, and the power to deal with them rests to a great degree with parents. It is not a mysterious providence that removes the little children. God does not desire their death, because a lot of people always blame him. Okay, this is what she's getting at here. God does not desire their death. He gives them to the parents to be trained for usefulness here and for heaven hereafter. Did fathers and mothers do what they might to give their children a good inheritance and then by right management endeavor to remedy any wrong conditions of their birth, what a change for the better the world might see. And that's what we're trying to do to this day, me and my wife. To remedy any wrong conditions of their birth, because we did raise our children incorrectly, and to this day, and I got to tell you, I praise God for you, that you young parents that have started off, you know, one foot in front of the other as Christians, real Christians, and you're training your children the way they should go, because I got to tell you, and those of you that have older kids that didn't train them right, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're going to be fighting your kids for the rest of your life to some, in some respects, because they're just not going to go along with your ideas, because first of all, they're eating foods that confuse the mind, which they're not going to get it the way you get it, and they're just not going to feel you're correct in that assumption because you were the ones that handed them the popsicle when you were when they were kids, or whatever the case may be. So, all right, so let's end it here. I'm going to circle off for my next week. We'll start in on page near the top of page 381, which is chapter 32, on the child and the care of infants for those of us who have small humans. Okay, and I'll be back in a minute. We're going to go sing, and we have Brother Rob is going to share with us this week. I ordinarily would have picked it up and preached this week, but he started something last week that we all want to hear the end of it. So he has agreed to preach again this week. So I'll be back in a minute.